Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Let's join Jill Bevilacqua as she presents a selection of letters from Saints Peter and Paul. In a programme which was originally part of a series in which she presented extracts from the letters of saints and seculars, people in different walks of life and from different centuries. So getting back to Saints Peter and Paul, the first three extracts you'll be hearing in a moment are in fact taken from their letters, while the others by those who succeeded them, some from the early church, others from the centuries that followed. The first letter from Saint Peter was written when he was in Rome to the Christians scattered among the pagans in Asia Minor. Let's listen then.
Peter addresses his letter to the Christians of the dispersion and names five provinces, representing practically the whole of Asia Minor. The letter was written in Greek, and Peter mentions that he was helped in the writing by Silvanus, or Silas, the same who accompanied St. Paul on his second journey.
Peter's letter was probably prompted by the difficult position in which the Christians found themselves. Though not as yet persecuted, they faced hostility and opposition from the pagan population. The purpose of Peter's letter is to help his readers' faith in these difficult times. The dominant theme is fortitude in trial.
Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, sends greetings to all those living among foreigners in the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Grace and peace be with you more and more. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of God, who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people at all, and now you are the people of God. My dear people, you must not think it unaccountable that you should be tested by fire. There is nothing extraordinary in what has happened to you. If you can have some share in the sufferings of Christ, be glad, because you will enjoy a much greater gladness when his glory is revealed. It is a blessing for you when they insult you for bearing the name of Christ, because it means that you have the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God resting on you. None of you should ever deserve to suffer for being a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or an informer. But if any one of you should suffer for being a Christian, then he is not to be ashamed of it. He should thank God that he has been called one. I write these few words to you through Silvanus, who is a brother I know I can trust, to encourage you never to let go this true grace of God to which I bear witness.
Like St. Peter, St. Paul needs no introduction. His letters, or epistles as they're known, must be the most famous letters ever written. They were not private letters, although they all begin with the conventional salutation, but neither are they theological treatises. They are simply Paul's response to a particular situation in a particular church. They are all commentaries on certain points of sermons that he preached, and although intended for a specific circle of readers, they were also directed in a general way to all the faithful.
Here is a brief extract from the most famous section of what is probably the most famous letter of all, known as the First to the Corinthians. Corinth was a great and populous port. The Christian community established there by Paul was composed chiefly of poor people and soon grew strong. But Corinth was also a notorious centre of immorality, and for the newly converted, not an easy place to live the Christian life. This letter was written sometime around the Easter of the year 57 AD.
If I have all the eloquence of men or of angels, but speak without love, I am simply a gong booming or a cymbal clashing. If I have the gift of prophecy, understanding all the mysteries there are and knowing everything, and if I have faith in all its fullness to move mountains, but without love, then I am nothing at all. If I give away all that I possess, piece by piece, and if I even let them take my body to burn it, but without love, it will do me no good whatever. Love is always patient and kind. It is never jealous. Love is never boastful or conceited. Now I am a man, all childish ways are put behind me. Now we are seeing a dim reflection in a mirror, but then we shall be seeing face to face.
Paul wrote two letters to his friend and co-apostle Timothy. When he wrote the second letter, Paul was a prisoner in Rome and things were not hopeful. He feels sure he will die soon, and in his loneliness, he begs Timothy to come as soon as possible. This extract from what was, in fact, Paul's last will and testament must have been written shortly before his martyrdom in 67 AD.
From Paul, appointed by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus in his design to promise life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, dear child of mine, wishing you grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. As for me, my life is already being poured away as a libation, and the time has come for me to be gone. I have fought the good fight to the end. I have run the race to the finish. I have kept the faith. Do your best to come and see me as soon as you can. As it is, Demas has deserted me for love of this life and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark to come and bring him with you. I find him a useful helper in my work. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus in Troas and the scrolls, especially the parchment ones. Greetings to Prisca and Aquila and the family of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill at Miletus. Do your best to come before the winter. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
One of the most precious of all early Christian documents is the letter of the Church of Rome to the Church of Corinth. It's attributed to Pope Clement, Bishop of Rome from AD 88 to 97, and consecrated, Tertullian tells us, by St. Peter himself. It seems that many of the old conflicts within the community were still persisting, for Clement talks of strife, friction, and schisms, and puts it all down to jealousy and envy, the sources, he says, of the greatest sins of the Old Testament, and the reasons for the persecution and deaths of the early martyrs, including Peter and Paul. Clement's letter is the earliest testimony we have of the martyrdom of Peter and Paul in Rome.
The Church of God that dwells in Rome, to the Church of God at Corinth, to the elect who have been sanctified by the will of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the grace and peace of God Almighty be fulfilled in you through Christ Jesus. Let us come to the heroes nearest to our times. Let us set before our eyes the good apostles, Peter, who by reason of unrighteous jealousy endured not one or two but many labors, and having thus borne his witness, went to his due place of glory. Paul, by reason of jealousy and strife, pointed out the prize of endurance. When he had preached in the East and in the West, he received the noble renown of his faith. Having taught righteousness to the whole world, even reaching the bounds of the West, and having borne witness before rulers, he thus left the world and went to the holy place, becoming the greatest pattern of endurance.
Ignatius of Antioch, apparently the third bishop of Antioch after St. Peter, died a martyr sometime at the close of the reign of the Emperor Trajan in the first century. In the course of a journey across Asia, on his way to Rome and martyrdom, Ignatius wrote seven letters to the various Christian communities. To those in Smyrna, where Polycarp, also a future martyr, was bishop, he wrote urging unity.
Avoid divisions as the beginning of evils. All of you follow the bishop as Jesus Christ followed the Father, and follow the presbytery as the apostles, and respect the deacons as the commandment of God. Let no man perform anything pertaining to the church without the bishop. Let that be considered a valid Eucharist over which the bishop presides, or one to whom he commits it. Wherever the bishop appears, there let the people be, just as wheresoever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. It is not permitted either to baptize or hold a love feast apart from the bishop. But whatever he may approve, that is well-pleasing to God, that everything which you do may be sound and valid.
In his letter to the Romans, the aged bishop begs them not to dissuade him from martyrdom.
My message to all the churches and my injunction to all is that I am glad to go to my death for God's sake, if only you would do nothing to stop me. Please do not be an unseasonable kindness to me. Let me be the food of the beasts through whom I can attain the presence of God. God's wheat I am, and I shall be ground by the teeth of the beasts, that I may become the pure bread of Christ. Rather coax the beasts to become my sepulchre and have no trace left of my body, so that when I fall asleep, I shall cause inconvenience to no one. Truly then shall I become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when the world will not even see my body.
We move on now to the Middle Ages, to the 11th century. Pope Gregory VII, in a programme of reform, had issued a decree forbidding the lay investiture of clerics. When the Emperor Henry IV refused to accept this, Gregory wrote to him privately, asking him to come to Rome to beg pardon. But Henry made the letter public, and at the Diet of Worms in 1076 asked for the Pope's deposition. Gregory replied by excommunicating Henry and releasing his subjects from obedience to the emperor. He prefaced his act of deposition with a passionate address to St. Peter himself.
Blessed Peter, chief of the apostles, incline thine holy ears to us, I pray, and hear me, thy servant, whom from infancy thou hast nourished, and till this day hast delivered from the hand of the wicked, who have hated and do hate me for my faithfulness to thee. especially to me, as thy representative has been committed, and to me by thy grace has been given by God the power of binding and loosing in heaven and on earth. Relying then on this belief, I withdraw the government of the whole kingdom of the Germans and of Italy from Henry the King, son of Henry the Emperor. For he has risen up against thy church with unheard of arrogance. And I absolve all Christians from the bond of the oath which they have made to him or shall make. And I forbid anyone to serve him as king. On thy behalf I bind him with the bond of anathema. Trusting in thee, I thus bind him that the peoples may know and acknowledge that thou art Peter, and that on thy rock the Son of the living God has built his church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Warm thanks there to Jill Bevilacqua once again for another fascinating programme. And our thanks too to Sean Patrick Lovett and Arthur Baum, whose voices you've just been listening to. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbury.